At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Sports news, when it happens here on The Fan.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
All right, welcome back in to the humble abode that is Rothman and Ice. Anthony Rothman here, Matty Ice to my right, CB behind the glass. Boys, good to see you.
AR, good to see you, big dog. You know what day it is. It's Wednesday. You know what that means. Today it means one more sleep. One more sleep until my Reds begin their march to the World Series.
So you're back on the train.
Yeah, I got some bad news today, but I don't care. I'm going to ignore that, but I've been back on the train since last year, but here we go, man. The march is on, starting tomorrow. How you feeling today? Good?
Outstanding. I will say this, waiting for March Madness to kick in again on Thursday was very easy. You're going to find this very odd.
Okay.
Last night was the most sneaky, good basketball night on a rando day that I've ever experienced. And the Jackets were on late, and I was locked into hoops all night.
It's a cool one, man.
And I'm going to tell you, it was trips to win. The Ohio State-Georgia game was about as the roller coaster ride that was.
The banger of the game.
It was.
Yeah.
Then I stumble into the comeback of all comebacks.
How about that?
By the L.A. Lakers against the Milwaukee Bucks in Milwaukee.
Without the King.
Double OT, yeah. Without LeBron, wearing his little toboggan on the sideline.
I need that varsity jacket.
Trying
though.
To give the little whammy
to Giannis. Well, he was trying to get Giannis going. Like, you know, he takes forever at the free throw line, and it might have worked
because he missed brick twice.
He did miss the free throw.
So they complete that comeback. Mm-hmm. Reeves was amazing, hits that three. And then I stumble back into Cincinnati and the Sycamores. With
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
Larry Nerd, Larry Blurred, Steph Blurry, and Milt Chamberlain.
Oh, man.
And I got to tell you, that kid, aside from the nicknames that I just reeled off, is a gift from the basketball gods.
Yeah,
he looks like a, when I first saw him, the kid that plays for Indiana State, and the fact that he went to the school that Larry Bird starred at.
Amazing.
And the fact that he wears these, and they're not full goggles, but
Rex Becks.
I'm telling you, if you didn't know any better, people, you would think this guy is a student manager that they just gave a uniform to. He is an animal. He can ball.
Oh, yeah.
He's insane. He's unreal. His real name is Rob Avila?
Rob Avila, yeah. A.K.A. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Which nickname do you like the best
I ever heard when I heard about this guy a couple months ago was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So that's the one I'm going to roll with.
Do you like Larry Blurred because he wears the goggles?
I'm not mad at it.
Pretty soft.
I'm not
Steph
mad at it.
Steph Blurry?
Okay.
Larry
Nerd, I like. That's probably second.
And
for
then
me.
The last one, I think, I saw CB's eyes light up when I dropped this one. Milt Chamberlain.
I didn't even know CB was paying attention because I think I see some chicken tenders over there that are getting housed.
There might have been three tenders down before the show started.
That's crazy. You're an absolute beast.
What is the over under that you put on yourself today?
Well, we set it at 4.5 before the show.
Oh, he's definitely eating a Caniac, which is 6 tenders by the end of the day. He's already halfway
home. So the over under is 5.5 and you're taking the over?
Done. Between now and 3 o'clock?
If you want me to accomplish it, I can make that sacrifice.
Let me ask you a question. What are the chances with everybody watching out there that you could somehow...
You have to make two trips. Like, you have to make it probably equal servings two different times so that people don't notice.
I was going to say, what are the chances you could try to sneak out a tailgate tray?
Just slide that into
the studio? Tailgate a tray into that studio.
I mean, I think if you give it about 15 more minutes when everybody goes back to work, if they are working today, then it'll be available.
Will there be any left?
Oh, yeah. There's
a lot of jackals out there.
I helped bring in the Canes with Heather. There is so much tenders and fries, coleslaw going on out there. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Did you get that Texas toast?
I didn't see any toast out there. CB, they got toast today? Okay.
There sure is.
That's the full Canes
toast
experience.
And slaw.
But your boy Avila last night, I mean, dude, that's unfortunate that we're not getting the Buckeyes Bearcats taking on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh, or the Bearcats, I was going to say.
Well, I wanted that matchup with the Buckeyes having to guard him because he is a bucket getter. He was 4 of 8 from 3 last night.
I think they've already sold out some of those games at the NIT at Hinkle.
I believe
because of Indiana State.
I'm telling you. So it is one of the most wild things. He's like a mini Big Country. You guys don't remember that dude from years ago.
Well, I might remember that. Remind me of his real name.
Bryant Reeves.
Bryant Reeves.
Big Country. Yeah, they called him Big Country. Now, he was 7 feet tall, and he played, where did he play? He played at Oak State. Yeah.
I recognize
this. Yeah, he is kind of a mini Big Country.
He played for the Memphis Grizzlies when they had those amazing teal uniforms, which they probably need to run it back. But now that I'm looking at Bryant Reeves,
if he had some goggles and was a little shorter,
he'd be maybe Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's daddy or uncle or something.
His daddy.
I see the vision.
He is the daddy.
But yeah, to AR's point, if you have not seen Robbie Avila hoop
yet. He's 6'10", but I shouldn't say that Bryant Reeves isn't that much taller.
He's not, but yeah, he's a fun watch. He really is.
Robbie Avila, man, you had my full attention last night, and those three games were unbelievable.
It was wild.
And then I did not stay up for the Jackets, and I saw they lost 6-2, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
I know.
Like, I saw that they get. I watched when Arizona scored and made it 3-2, and then I'm like, okay, I'm going to bed now.
How many games are left?
I feel like this. Wow, the way you said that was almost like put you out of the misery.
Well, I was going
to
say, that's probably
how many games do we have to suffer through, is what you're saying.
What I was going
to
say, that's probably how they feel.
Why do you say that when JD comes on tomorrow?
I will. I'm going to say JD.
Can we just mail it in at this point?
Got a couple against Pittsburgh coming up.
2, 4, 6, 8, 10.
10 games.
Who do we appreciate? All right, so we'll have that. But we will talk with Adam Schefter this hour and get some NFL rumors cleared up. Listen, the game last night was, you know, I sat that one out on the bets, and both of the ones that I kind of casually threw out hit, of course, because I didn't bet them. One was taking Georgia +4.5 in the first half, and the other one was taking the over. It was oop city with Felix in the first half. Like, that was the offense. I mean, how many jams did that dude have? And he had 10.
Going into the locker room, yeah.
And they were shooting almost 50%, and they were a team that was playing really well. That's a veteran Georgia team that wasn't going to go away. They illustrated how much they've played single-digit games this year and how they've come out really well in those. But the runs in the second half, their 8-0 run, Ohio State come back, I think, with their run, and then Georgia goes on another 9-0 run, and Buckeyes with a 12-0 run. Then it was it a 17-0 run, I believe, that Ohio State went on?
That sounds right. And to your point,
when they went up 6,
that pocket of time in the game, those are the things that come back to haunt you, right? Because you had that situation. You mentioned the 8-0 run that Ohio State cooked up. Royal had that nice block, right? And then that led to three from Battle, and then you get the dunk from Zed, and he's raising the roof, and you're like, okay, here we go. Buckeyes are back in the mix, and then Georgia kept countering.
Back-to-back threes.
That's what I'm saying. They kept countering, and in that pocket of time throughout the game, that's where you look back at the score and say, man, if we could have thrown out a little bit more resistance on defense, maybe we come out on the other side. I know that's easier said than done, and I know there's always runs in basketball, but that really jumped out to me yesterday. Then you had Thomason hit a big bucket for them late, a little step back.
And
I thought that was pretty good defense by Royal, and then you swing it back to the other end, and Battle has a three go in and out off of Thornton pass.
So it was weird. That roof came off a couple times last night, and I think that's great. For the people that were there, I think they sensed something and they felt something. Now, there's a little bit of a love affair with this team because they rescued this season and they kind of became the little engine that could for a lot of people here in Buckeye land. Like, okay, let's extend this thing. You guys want to play. Their hearts were in it. They were defending like crazy. Jake's new energy that he injected into this team is there. And I think there's a little bit of a nice edge to him. There's some attitude.
They talked about it on the broadcast yesterday.
He wants to win.
I love it.
And there's a little bit of a intensity to him. And a little bit of a little silent reflux kind of deal. You like the, huh? Yeah, it doesn't sound great, but there feels like there's a little bit of acid boiling all in him. You never know when it's going to come to the top.
Okay.
You never know when he's going to need to down a Prilosec like an Anthony Rothman or something.
Okay, now I'm following.
I think there's
now
like this pool of acid that's always kind of there, and it can be lit, and then
pool
right there.
Acid.
You know what I mean? In a good way.
Okay.
You know? Like always, like a little bubbling cauldron, you know? Like, you know, when you cook stuff at home, you know?
Whoa.
The pot's just simmering. It's not boiling over.
No,
but it's always there in a can. I feel like he's got that in him.
To your point, he is not shy when it comes to chirping with the refs. And I like that. I like that. Sometimes it can hurt you, but I like when the head coach has a little fire that can get his guys going throughout the game. So I appreciate that. I really do.
Moneyball. When Brad Pitt's sitting there and the guy that's playing David Justice says to him, "Boy, I've never heard a GM talk to a player that way." And Brad Pitt turns back, "You've never seen a GM who was a player."
Mm.
And I feel like that's a little bit of Jake. Like, that's a coach who's been in the battle, and he gets it. Now, the beauty of last night, and I tweeted this out right before it happened, this is the first time we got to witness Jake Diebler draw up timeout 1.3, run the picket fence. What is he going to design? And we got our draw up moment with Jake last night. I didn't love the fact that this team was down two with 10 seconds and they went for the win both times. Now, that's just me. I feel like if you're at home, you force Georgia to foul a little bit, extend that game.
Yeah.
But he even said, you know, about running out of gas and all that. Maybe it was an all or nothing situation, because when Thornton misses with 10 seconds, you know, they screened up top for him and he misses. Ball got knocked out. They get another chance. 1.3, Jake drawing up and they get a pop out for Battle. No one's going to hate that. Battle's a sharpshooter.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting to me. And maybe it is a little results I'm playing here, but I felt like I'm wondering why they felt like they had to go for a three twice.
Maybe it was something he saw from Georgia's defense and that they could get a clean look out there on the 3-point line. Yeah, that last play from Battle was just not enough juice on. I think the defender got out close enough to him to where he had to adjust a little bit, but that's the guy. That's the guy I think should be taking the last shot with what he's shown. And yesterday he had that amazing dunk where he was yamming on dudes and got the house rocking. That was a great pickup this year, man. Honestly, Jamison Battle and what he showed, and even what he showed outside of being just a 3-point shooter. You and I have talked over the last couple months about certain games where you see him get to the line, put the ball on the floor and apply pressure outside of just the 3-point shot. So yeah, that was unfortunate because it did, when he let it go, I was like, this is going in, just hit the front rim. And unfortunately that's the end of the season. But yeah, it was a pretty good effort yesterday from a team that Coach Diebler talked about prior to tip, that they were good defensively and they were going to make you earn it so you don't get the 80 points in the game. And we talked about a couple of those portions of said game where the defense wasn't short up the way you wanted it to be, and you allowed the Bulldogs to run away from you a little bit. A
little bit of helter-skelter last night. I liked the defensive energy. It just was a little bit chaos last night. But they created a lot of turnovers, and they just, at the end, it's what it is. It's a make-or-miss situation, and they missed. All right, that run ends. We'll certainly continue talking about this program moving forward. But up next, we'll switch to football. And an Ohio State assistant coach barks back on his own coaching timeline. You'll hear it next. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
Common Man and T-Bone are idiots. You should listen to them anyway.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan, Ohio's idiot destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Listening to Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
Indeed you are. Nice little Wednesday. Shefty bottom of the hour.
CB Sandy's already tapped out at 5:10.
Yeah, that's the fact that the under is crushed already and it's only 12:20 is ridiculous.
Well, the problem is the speed at which you eat it. You kind of fill up fast.
Give it time. Processing nicely, processing very nicely.
You might get the itis over there now, big dog. You better stay awake.
Maddie, if I can get a dessert down, can you throw in some party hats for the group out there?
There is a cake out there.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
What kind of cake?
Processing very nicely, I think, right now. Just give it a little time. You'll be back in.
What's the favorite kind of cake?
Ice cream cake.
Ice cream cake. Okay.
With a crust.
Well, you're like a crust
guy. Like an Oreo crust
extra,
ice cream cake.
Extra Oreo crust for
doesn't
you.
Doesn't need to be extra. Just a nice, either a graham cracker crust or some kind of a deal. But if I, and I haven't had one forever, but an ice cream cake with a crust. I mean, maybe that's cheating because you said cake and it, I just said ice cream.
No, look at that. But that's fine. That absolutely qualifies. Right. My mom used to make the best yellow cake with chocolate icing. Like, that was just so good, man. Yellow cake with chocolate icing. By the way, shout out to my parents. They're down in Myrtle Beach right now enjoying themselves.
How come they didn't make it a family affair?
You know what? They didn't need me.
Come on down, son.
I guess they didn't want me around.
Oh.
I guess. That's not good. They didn't want your boy around.
Did your dad text you and say three's a crowd?
No, I did not get that. All right. I just got the we've landed. My mom showed me videos of their really nice hotel room, which I am jealous of. Well, I did not get the invite from the rents. Now you got me thinking, why didn't I get the invite?
She owes you a yellow cake with chocolate icing.
You know what?
Not that you'll touch it. That's the problem.
I'll charge her for that.
Absolutely. Let's get to Larry Johnson here. I think this has been a story that's been going on forever. Like, he's going to leave. When's he going to retire? He's going to, like, this is, I feel like we've talked about this, not us wanting him to leave, but other people have talked about this for a while now, and we are in a business. Now, it's a little different because we're in an NIL world, and maybe the big tiebreaker for people isn't necessarily my assistant coach. It's what's my deal there. It used to be the assistant coach, your position coach, used to be a very big deal for a lot of players, not just the head coach, but really the position coach.
Yeah.
It's a great relationship, or it can be. But here's Larry Johnson talking about his message to the recruits when they ask about his coaching future.
All I could do is tell them the truth, right? That's the biggest thing, right? Look in my eyes and say, this is what I'm going to do. And that question was asked many times. Every year it's asked, right? And I've been real honest and truthful about that. You know, when I make the decision what I want to do, I'll tell them. I'm not going to recruit a guy and bring him here and then take off. That's just not part of my DNA. That's not my character. And so I try my best to be honest with kids with what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it. And that's what I said. He asked me that. He said, Coach, you leave, I'm gone. And I reassure myself, I'm not going anywhere. I'll be here. You get here. So that's what's important. You know what I mean? It's more than just words. It's really believing in a principle of who you are as a coach. You know what I mean? And I'm not chasing money. I'm not chasing anything. I'm chasing greatness with my players and hope they have a chance to be really special. And that's what's important to me.
All right, so it's a great answer. And it's the problem is the timing can change, life can change, and that you'd certainly if something happened in his life that he had to step away, then everyone would understand. He's what, 72, 71, 72, somewhere in that area. And he wants to continue to coach. The problem with all of this is the timing. You can't promise someone you're going to be there for a certain amount of years because someone's always going to feel disappointed. Like if you were signing up here at the Fan and our boss said to you, yeah, I'm going to be here, Maddie, for a certain amount of years. And then the next year, the next year, the next year, you can't keep telling the same kid the same thing because each year stacks onto the rest. Yeah. And eventually he's going to get to the point where somebody came in and then he'll be leaving after that kid's freshman year.
Absolutely. And it's pretty wild that this is going to be his 10th year here at Ohio State. I mean, that's where we're at. Got here in 2014 and everything that I've heard when it comes to former players and how they feel about Larry Johnson is through the roof in positivity. Like it feels like he's one of those coaches that players are ready to run through a brick wall for him week in and week out. And he's got the resume. He's got the track record of really good players that he's coached on that D-line. So having him around for Coach Day is just such a valuable asset because of his experience, the things that he's seen as a player and obviously now as a coach. So it's been great to have him around. And for the guys now that are going to be coached by him again this year with the Jack Sawyers and the JTs of the world, I'm sure he wants more from those guys, right? Because that's been a unit over the last couple seasons where it's been a little up and down. Like Jack Sawyer had a tremendous back end of his season, especially those last three games where you're talking 16 tackles, five sacks, and a forced fumble. That's what we need, right? Because it's been since 2019 since Ohio State has led the Big Ten in sacks. That's not the end-all be-all, but we know how important that can be. And if those guys on the D-line this year can create a bunch of pressure with how good I think that secondary is going to be, this defense, again, should be very, very good.
Yeah, and listen, I wish him the best. Anybody that can do what they love into their 70s and continue to get paid handsomely for it, which he is definitely in the million-dollar-plus assistant club at that age, then that's something. And he said something at the end. You're chasing a championship, too. And they are as well. He's got a laundry list of incredible guys that he's helped develop, helped coach. Yep. It's the Bosas, Chase Young, Hubbard.
Tyquan Lewis is of
Tyquan,
the world. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, Tyreek Smith. Mm-hmm. He's got all these guys that, and listen, they've got to put a lot into it, too. It's not all him. The player's got to be able to make the coach look good in a lot of places. But, yeah, I mean, it's we're kind of at that point. You mentioned a couple of the guys. I think the starting spot, I mean, the depth is where he needs to really develop this team.
I agree.
Because if there's injury, then those guys are going to have to go. But I'll tell you what, the starting spots and the defense and everything seems so solid. Let's hear from Larry on Jack Sawyer at the end of last year.
I thought that after the sixth game, you saw Jack make her emerge. I thought he's starting to change and then go back to the things that he does well. You know, go back to his toolbox, do the things, not guess, and just start playing really good football. And then he started playing very physical football, which I thought he had a long time ago. And that changed. And all of a sudden, he brought the whole defense along with him. And I kind of like where he ended the season on a really high note, really played really well for us. Became a great leader, too.
I think you brought up a good point there about depth and what we see from the, you know, Caden Currys of the world, mm-hmm. Kenyatta Jackson, a transfer, and Tywon Malone, who came up from Ole Miss. So they've really been, you know, grabbing some dudes from Ole Miss the last couple of seasons here. But, you know, he was a guy that played both baseball and football, so it's going to be interesting to see where he's at. But the interior of the D-line should be good with Ty Leak and Ty Hamilton down there paired with the experience that you have on the ends. And that's what I love, is that you have guys that have been around the block, have seen a lot of things out there on the field. So that should be a very stout unit. You just want a little bit more production to come along the way throughout the year, instead of having it maybe crammed in two or three games at the back end.
Yeah, I'd like to see Ty Hamilton really be make his mark this year, because I feel like, and the one guy that's gone obviously is Mike Hall, but that's the guy for me. I agree with you. The bookends are set on the interior. Those guys are set, Ty Leak and Ty, but I'd like to see Ty really make his mark this year and then develop that depth because of injury and expand and get reps for those guys. They'll have the schedule to do it. He should be able to rotate pretty well, but you brought up the best point of all, which is, and we've been just clamoring for a game wrecker. Now, they can do that by committee. Mm-hmm. I'm all about that. That's fine. You don't have to be one guy. You don't have to have the JT game at Penn State all the time.
Right.
It can be done by committee. But they got to make it uncomfortable for teams now.
Yeah,
they got to live up to this hype.
Because you got good players on the back end, the corners, the safety group. Those guys can become even better players if they don't have to guard receivers or tight ends for 5, 6, 7 seconds down the field, right? You got to get that ball out if you're a quarterback in 2 seconds, 3 seconds, whatever it is. That's going to have this defense really cooking.
All right, we will come back and check in with Adam Schefter, the senior NFL insider at ESPN. We'll get his take on the Fields move to the Steelers, what they think about him financially, and then, of course, Dak and everything floating around in Dallas. That's next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Helping you ace your afternoon. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right. NFL draft will be coming up late April. And I was looking at some of the picks on Bet365, some of the positions. Marvin Harrison Jr. is still an overwhelming favorite to go number 4 to Arizona. Now, things can change there. And so, and what I mean by that, that's just for pick number 4. As far as the receivers go, it's pretty much an overwhelming favorite to him. Marvin Harrison Jr. is like minus 650. Like, that's a massive favorite. Malik Nabers is 5-1. So it's a pretty big gap. And then there's even a bigger gap. And this is, by the way, this is to be the first receiver drafted.
Okay.
And then it just tumbles to Odunze and the rest. So it really is a two-horse race to be the first receiver drafted. There's no way Odunze is going to be the first receiver drafted. It's either going to be Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers. Now, what happened today was interesting, and I don't know if the books will adjust on this.
Yeah.
But Malik Nabers was putting on a show today, speed-wise, at his pro day. He ran a 4.3. All right, it was a 4.37, 4.3 and change. And I understand that, and I said this before, I wouldn't have the guts, I don't think, to take him over Marvin Harrison Jr., but it doesn't feel like that it would be like legend versus bust. Like, it feels like you'd probably be doing just fine with Malik Nabers, but if you have a choice, you're taking Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't know if this will matter, but it's out there that he's got a shot to pull the upset here.
So Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network, probably, you know, the second biggest name in the draft world right now outside of Mel Kiper, he tweeted out on March 18th, "I wouldn't be shocked if Nabers ended up being the first wide receiver off the board. I love Marvin Harrison Jr. and Adunze, but Nabers brings a different element. It'll come down to preference of style, but I guarantee some teams will have Nabers at the top of the list." Mm-hmm. There was a question underneath the tweet, which looks like it came from a Buckeye fan, that said, "What's the different element?" Jeremiah responded, "Speed and run after catch." So that's what he saw on film. And like he's saying, I think both these guys are going to be studs when they get to the NFL. Maybe this pocket of time where Marvin hasn't been doing much of anything, maybe that will hurt him after today just a little bit, maybe in the eyes of some teams based off of what Malik Nabers has done. We've seen LSU produce some really, really good receivers into the NFL, whether it's Jarvis Landry, Odell, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase. This guy, Malik Nabers, is the all-time leader in receiving yards. He's got 3,003 receiving yards between his 3 years of play at LSU, and he's third when it comes to a single season. So he's been absolutely cooking, and this guy can absolutely go. He and his teammate, Brian Thomas Jr., are probably going to be first-round picks, because Brian Thomas Jr. is no slouch either. But after today, when you combine the speed element that these guys saw with his 40, and I'm sure he ran some good routes and all those things, with everything that we saw on tape being attached to the Heisman Trophy winner, Malik Nabers is he's probably going to be off the board in those first 10 picks, AR.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. I think just for this conversation today, it's about, will he pass Marvin Harrison Jr. as being the top receiver taken? He's shorter than Marvin Harrison by a few inches. I think the speed thing is real. I do. I think it's, but I don't know how real it is from a football coaching standpoint. If Marvin Harrison has great football tape, that should lead the day
for sure
most of the time. But not doing anything at the combine and not doing anything at a pro day might have been the, I want to let my tape speak for me. Mm-hmm. Because if I can't run, if I'm a 4.55 guy or something, like if I'm that guy, then all of a sudden, and this guy blows it away, which he did today, Nabers, then it's a little bit, you can compare apples to apples. I think what Marvin Harrison's camp would want is, I don't want you comparing my 40 time to Malik Nabers' 40 time. What I want you to compare is his tape to my tape.
The eye in the sky, that's don't it. Lie.
And so that's really what it is. But I'm not here to tell you that a 4.37 isn't lightning, and that should, for the position he plays. But being 6 feet versus a guy who's almost 6'4", mm-hmm. there's a fairly big difference. That's why I'm saying I wouldn't have the guts to do it. But, and I don't think you're going to, like you said, I don't think anyone's going to be mad that they wound up with Malik Nabers. So I think that's kind of where we are.
You're winning either way if you get one of these guys. I think you're absolutely going to be a winner if you're a GM and you can land one of Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr. And it does matter, right? Like, who do you have currently in your wide receiver room? Do you have a couple guys that are already providing speed and you need a little bit more size, a guy that can go down in the red zone and box guys out? Or the flip side of that, maybe you have a guy like a Mike Evans, a big body guy that necessarily isn't the biggest blazer. You add a guy like Malik Nabers to that style of wide receiver, then you're really onto something with how you can counter defensive looks and all those things. So, yeah, I mean, that was a incredible season that Malik Nabers cooked up. He had a game where he had 239 yards receiving. Like, the dude's just an absolute monster. And the league has shown everybody that you go down to the factories of LSU, you go into the factory of Ohio State, those guys, it doesn't take long. Look at Garrett Wilson, rookie of the year. Chris Olave, his first year, absolutely balled out. And we know what Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson have been doing since Roger Goodell called their name. So, yeah, you go shopping at the stores of LSU and Ohio State, down the wide receiver aisle, you're probably taking home something good.
Yeah, there's a certain area of Marvin Harrison. If you're going to compare the two of them, well, we just did it. One guy has blow-by speed, outrunning NFL corners. Most offensive coaches would say, I got to have that. And then the other coach is like, hey, he's plenty fast, and he's 3 inches taller, and I've seen the tape. So it's really eye of the beholder.
Yeah.
But if you are someone that speed, 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 and that's my tiebreaker, then Nabers has a shot at this. If not,
it's real.
It'll be Harrison.
For me, yeah. I love the route runners. Like, I don't like the speed is always a great element to have. But if your speed is good enough, but you're the better route runner, that's the guy I would roll with, because yeah. you can create space
These
and make
guys
life
look
easier
at everything.
For your QB. Everything. Absolutely.
I mean, everything. The stutter step, everything. They'll look at absolutely everything. And you should, because that's what you're buying. All right. We'll come back. Top of the hour. SportsCenter update. And one GM, Maddie. Maybe ticked off at a certain narrative floating around. We'll tell you about that next. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2 for 2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
All right, second hour of the program. We'll do some ins and outs this hour. Pat Murphy of Bucknuts.com will jump on at 1:33. We've got just a lot of swirling rumors around in the NFL. And
what's your favorite rumor right now that you've seen? Anything jump out to you? You're like, oh, pretty interesting.
The situation at the top with the quarterback stuff and the fact that Jaden Daniels could go 2 to Washington, to me, is the fact that that keeps coming back now. And I didn't think that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I know all these teams have to take a chance at some point, and there's been a lot of heavy debate. And the two names that are up there with Jaden Daniels and Drake May in North Carolina. But with Kingsbury calling the offense, it feels like the value of dual threat is very real. Now, they both can do it, but Jaden does it at such a level that he did in college that the final year he put together at LSU was electrifying.
Don't sleep on a couple years ago what May did with his legs. Don't sleep on that.
No, I'm not. And that's what's fun to me is which dual threat guy are they going to trust?
I agree, man. It's you know, the guy that I haven't heard much about is Michael Penix. Like, where is the league at with Michael Penix? I know the injury stuff is real. Like, he had a rough couple years to where it was some serious injuries going on, but he's been so productive the last two seasons at Washington. I've heard first round, I've heard third round, but recently it's been quiet around his name. And so I cannot wait to see a month from now whether or not his name does get called in the first round.
Here's the problem. It's certainly the injuries.
Yeah.
And the second problem is he's going to be a 24-year-old rookie. And so I'm just saying.
No, just for me, that doesn't bother me anymore. It doesn't. We're not in the same era of football where we were a decade ago to where.
He's going to be older faster because of the injuries.
No, I get it, but yeah. I'm not concerned about that. I'm not concerned about his age. Jaden Daniels isn't a young guy either. How old is he right now?
Don't know. Provide that birth certificate.
Jaden Daniels is 23. Yeah. He'll be 24 in December, and people love him. And he's got injury stuff, too. He's slight of frame. So that's why I'm just kind of, I'm very confused when it comes to Michael Penix, because just haven't heard much about him right now. And the dude was killing the last 2 years.
I think when you tear your ACL twice, it should scare people off. Doesn't mean he couldn't play well when he's healthy. That's all. It's just the investment part of it. If I got to win a game today, I'm telling you, man, he's a great quarterback. But you wonder when he's forced out of the pocket, which he will be in the NFL at times, where's his production?
But I think he's earned, I think, the last 2 years that we have to give him the benefit of the doubt because he's been healthy. So I understand that we're talking about some serious injuries, but that's, what, 3-4 years ago now in the rearview mirror. He's had 2 clean laps around the track.
How many times
in Washington? I got to give him some credit for that.
How about, yeah, but the only thing I would say is that now you're going to the NFL. He's going to be sacked.
I mean, all these guys are, but I'm just saying he was sacked in college.
Not as much as other guys.
No, but I'm saying he was sacked the last 2 years at Washington. So, and he held up just fine.
Not by NFL guys.
I mean, okay. I'm just saying. What's the difference, I guess? These guys aren't weighing 100 pounds more in the NFL than they are in college. That, to me, I'm not worried about that, I guess, the way you are.
So where would you draft him?
I think he's worthy of a first-round pick. I do. With his explosive playmaking.
Would you draft him over one of those three?
I would probably draft him over Bo Nix.
Okay, but not over the three.
Not over May, Daniels, and Wood.
No. Okay.
But I would take him before Bo Nix.
I said to you, I think, a few weeks ago that if he does drop into the second round, it's value city. Absolutely. Yeah. At that point, and I think I said, maybe even Bobby heard, I'd like, he is a guy, let him come to you if he does. I don't know if he's a reach quarterback, but he definitely falls into a value area early in the second round. Or maybe a team trades up late in the first round to grab him. You're not wrong to point him out. He can flick that thing, right? Mm-hmm. 50 yards plus and no effort. He is a guy that can sling it. He can throw lasers. And honestly, he can't.
No, I'm not laughing at you. I'm just laughing at Joel Klatt saying apparently that Michael Penix Jr. would be an instant upgrade over Tua Tagovailoa.
Who would be? Michael Penix. Would be?
He's saying that he would be.
You know what's funny about that?
Yeah.
That's his NFL comp, really.
Mm-hmm.
An injured quarterback who can throw that side of the ball. That's his comp. I like him. You can't just dismiss the injuries because he has stayed healthy. You can hope. Anybody can get injured on any play. I get it. The most perfectly healthy guy can go into the NFL and get injured. But you'd be drafting a guy who suffered multiple season-ending injuries when he was at IU and then tore the ACL twice.
Yeah, I'm just not worried about it anymore. If this was a year...
Dr. Hayes has said,
if this was a year, good. If this was a year ago, then I'd be like, okay, yeah, you know what? That's probably something I should think about. But, I mean, when you go 2 full years...
He gave him a ding. He cleared him.
All right. I got
it. But yeah, that's an interesting take from Joel Klatt right there. He's saying, I cannot stop thinking about Miami. I think he's an upgrade. I think he's an immediate upgrade for Tua, who led the league in passing yards and all that stuff. That's hot right there.
I think we've come back to the same place. Talent-wise, he may be. Future, investment, all that. But there were question marks about Tua going in.
No question.
Certainly about his injuries.
Yep.
And he's had to navigate those waters. But the other thing is, look what Miami's given Tua,
right,
to work with.
Yeah, and I think Klatt, maybe some of the vision that he's seeing is the explosive guys, right, with Tyreek and Waddle. And you combine that with McDaniel as their head coach and the offensive mind. Maybe what you saw with Adunze and McMillan and Polk kind of mirrors that on the collegiate level to a certain degree. So maybe stylistically, offensively, when you look at Washington and Miami, maybe there's some similar things going on. But that's one of the hottest takes I've seen. So far in draft season, is this guy saying he'd be an immediate upgrade?
That's quite a dunk on Mr. Tua,
really,
for
is.
Sure. Ryan Poles, we come back to the Bears for a minute. The GM of the Bears kind of addressed some things when it comes to Caleb Williams and the McAfee show, right?
Yeah, he was on the McAfee show, but the reason why he responded to some of the noise is because RG3 went down the road of Caleb Williams and maybe some guys in the future when it comes to prospects, taking back some power.
Caleb Williams should pull a Eli Manning and demand that the Chicago Bears do not draft him number one overall. After everything that's happened with just Justin Fields, can Caleb Williams really look at that and say, you know what? This is the organization that has my best interest at heart, and they're going to help develop me into the player that I want to become. Caleb Williams is on record saying that he wants to be legendary. He wants to rewrite history, and he wants to be the best that he can possibly be and win the most games he can possibly win. After the Bears took Justin Fields, the 11th pick in the draft, and turned him into a sixth round pick in the 2025 draft by trading him to the Pittsburgh Steelers, can Caleb Williams really look at that and say, you know what? Yeah, this organization is going to help get me where I want to go.
We talked about this. I think the timing is different. I don't think RG3 is wrong about the Bears' history at quarterback.
That's fair.
But I don't think you can tag Ryan Poles with the entire history of the Chicago Bears football team.
And they are where they are right now with what's around the quarterback position. Yeah.
They're proving it.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're proving it that they got a wake-up call. And they got a chance in the timing here to reset. Yeah. And at least they're taking it seriously. This isn't just a company cutting people to save money.
Yeah.
They're actually reinvesting in that position while they're resetting. It actually feels right for the first time.
I agree. I agree with you. So yesterday, Pat McAfee had Ryan Poles on, and he was asked about what we just heard from RG3, and here was his response.
Obviously, and we're lucky to be talk to a few GMs around the league, but like when RG3 comes out, you heard it. Yeah. Okay. Don't you think like your particular Bears feels different than maybe the previous Bears? Like, that's how we feel outside looking in. It's like, hey, this is a brand new building almost. Does it feel like that in there? And obviously you weren't there beforehand, but does it feel like you and Eberflus's culture is kind of, because at the end of the last season,
right. It
feels like, okay, the culture's kind of settling in, team settling in. You guys feel that, obviously?
Yeah, it pisses me off a little bit, to be honest with you, because we were hired to break a cycle. The same thing when I was in Kansas City. Coach Reed, all of us were brought there to break a cycle. And we did. And no one talks about those days anymore. It's all about what they are right now. So I really believe we're about to break this cycle and get this city in a really good situation and win a lot of games. So the past is the past. Like, I don't worry about that at all. It's about where we're going.
Good answer. Right answer.
Pissed them off, AR.
Yeah, it's the right answer.
It's coming after his job, essentially. He's coming after.
How long has he been there?
Oh, man, I think this is year two, maybe year three.
All right. So we're not tagging him with Trubisky. We're not tagging him with Matt Barkley. We're not tabbing him with who else? Rex. Well, actually, Rex was pretty decent. Jay Cutler actually got him.
They were fine. Those guys were okay.
They were competent. Yeah, we're not tagging him with that. They got a chance. He's exactly right. Now, whether it works or not is yet to be seen. Mm-hmm. I'm not judging him on technically what they're putting around Caleb. I like that. I think if you're a Bear fan, you're like, okay, my team is finally getting it right. They're investing. Yeah. He will not be judged, I think, on any of this. He'll be judged on whether he picks the right damn quarterback.
That's it.
If Caleb works out and he becomes as good or better than Justin and they feel like we got the right guy. Now, the key is, and we won't know this because it's not a science, we won't know whether it's because Caleb was better than Justin or it's because they finally helped the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And that's timing in life. Now, Caleb can't survive if he's not very good, or at least get to the places they want. So that's the interesting recipe right now, is the chicken or the egg. Like, is it the quarterback, or is it they finally gave him people?
If Caleb Williams is really him, AR, if he's really him.
I'm him?
Yeah, if he's that really the, that
the
guy.
Kids say now?
If he's him. Yeah. I was looking at Bet365 today, and the Lions are plus 140. Packers are plus 225. The Bears are plus 350. And if he's got a little CJ Stroud magic in him, which people are saying he's supposed to be one of those next guys, I think that's decent value, because I would not be shocked if he is that dude with what's around him that the Bears could maybe mess around and win this dude. I just thought their value right now is pretty darn good. Sorry, your Vikes are plus 600, but when you sign up for Sam Darnold, that's what you get.
I'm signing up for a rebuild. I'm all right with it. By the way, the best tweet of all was from Dan Campbell.
What'd he say?
He said, I'm not going to lie, it's nice that Fields out of the division.
That's kind of
a nice little compliment on the way 100%. Out of town.
The talent is there. And to your point, like, I would have loved to seen this supporting cast around Justin Fields But obviously that's in the rearview mirror. Yeah. That's in the rearview mirror. He's got to focus on what happens in Pittsburgh. But Caleb Williams has to be sleeping well right now, knowing what he's going to be cooking with coming into the league.
Ins and outs coming up next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
If you're starting your day any other way, you're doing it wrong. Morning Juice with Bobby and Beamer.
Weekdays starting at 6.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rothman and Ice present In or Out.
Just a little of the old In and Out.
All right, big guy. What do you got?
All right, I'm running with this question on the fly here because it was brought to my attention or my idea here watching everyone eat the Raising Cane's for our guy Dave's retirement party. I wanted to put it to the surface because I saw that you two didn't enjoy any of the Raising Cane's out there. So my question to you is, are you in or out? If I offered you $100, you would eat a Caniac's worth of food that was sitting out there.
The timing was just bad for me. Maddie knows that I usually eat about 1 o'clock. I thought when the crowd went away, that would be my time to strike. I didn't realize that. I went out there at 1, my normal time. It was all gone. Mm. And so I had to go back to the frozen meal. I easily would have wanted one. I just didn't want to force feed myself early.
But the question is, if I made you eat a Caniac worth of food, which is six tenders,
yeah,
a toast, a coleslaw, and like a Caniac serving of fries, and I offered you $100 to do it, but you had to finish the meal, could you do it?
Oh, I could definitely finish it. I think the debate is whether you'd want to do it for the money. I mean, we could both eat it. We're not little babies. Like, I think we could, I mean, we could both actually pull it off.
Oh, man.
It's just whether we'd want to for the $100 and how you'd feel afterward.
See, here's the problem, is that I know for a fact that my energy level would come way down after I ate that. And so...
Is that a problem?
It is a problem, for, I think, for what we do. That,
problem,
I think that would
for
be
them.
A problem. But
problem
see me throwing $100 at me, though...
I don't think you would do it. I don't think there's a number you would do it for.
Pretty nice price tag. Pretty nice price tag, because I clean out Cane's a lot.
If the answer is yes to this, I'll buy the Cane's.
But that's the thing. You say you do it, but I've never seen you do it, so that's why I'm offering such a high price
tag. What has my response always been? You want to look at my bank statements? You want to look at my...
No, I'm good.
Well, exactly. I don't think I'll that would you. Even be the evidence he wants.
Well, of course it is.
He wants
see.
The eyewitness evidence is what he wants.
No, what you need
he
to see
He doesn't
is...
want a paper trail or any of that.
Well, that's good enough evidence for me. That's all he's getting. But to answer your question, CB, because we have to do this job, I got to bow out because I get sleepy. The itis would take over, man.
I'll tell you what. I probably wouldn't need the toast, but... Six fingers. And
well, to be fair, you could swap in an extra like coleslaw maybe an extra sauce for that piece
you
of
like
toast.
The good point. Butter both sides on that toast. That's really the win right there.
I mean, if this is...
When's the last time you even had
Saturday afternoon?
Honestly.
It's been a little bit, but I used to get after it pretty good last year. Okay. But it's been a bit. We've had it... Do we have it delivered here a little while back before this?
Have you had it in 2024?
I don't think so. Okay. No, because, you know, it's just been a wild ride since the end of football. Then we go to Vegas. Then I'm back. Then I got the Vegas flu. I just haven't had a chance. And then here we are.
CB, Dave Holmes from 10TV swears that they have honey mustard. And I don't know if he was lying to me or if he was telling the truth. Have you ever?
Well, I've never inquired about it because I think just the cane sauce is really all you need.
That's a good point.
But I can check next time I go.
I'm curious. Find that out for
us. Is he talking about like a second little
cup of honey mustard?
Because really, or a second like little pre-packaged honey mustard?
I don't know. I'm curious because since I've been going to Cane's, back in high school, now at this point, I've always just known them for the cane sauce and Texas Pete hot sauce. That's all they got, to my knowledge. I don't know.
$100, you're out. Oh. I mean, I'll take his $100.
Yeah, go ahead and do it, big dog. Why don't you eat the rest of that cake too? That's out there.
I don't know if there's a number on that.
Ooh.
That doesn't do it for me. I'd rather have the Cane's than the cake.
Fair enough.
Where are you on that?
On eating that cake?
Yeah, or having a big hunk of it. What?
No, CB started laughing when I said eat that cake. I don't know why he started laughing when I said
he's
that.
He's been, I'll tell you, there's a couple things I've said today that he's spun around, like, which is great. I'm glad his radar goes off like that, like for innuendos.
Yeah. Here's what I'll say
to
you,
I have to be alert for my job purposes, but yes,
really?
I do. Well,
do we really
frown
upon that here?
CB.
Maybe not us.
It's not a Freaky Friday yet, big dog. Get your head out of the gutter. Go ahead. Sorry.
All right. Second question here. I know, Matty Ice, you brought up to me that you saw a mock draft with Ladd McConkey going to your Ravens. So I will ask you, are you in or out on that decision if the Ravens go with McConkey?
I'm all in. Ladd McConkey, he seems like he could be a nice little receiver. You know, we got Tom Monken over there, our offensive coordinator. He was down there with those dogs a couple years ago. So, look, Odell's out. I think Rashad Bateman's still a massive question mark, and Zay Flowers is promising. But we need more. I know the tight ends are good with Likely and Andrews, but I want a little bit more pop there. So, yeah, if they want to go down to Athens and scoop up Ladd, I'm all in.
This is right on the mark. This is tailor-made for them with Monken. I can't imagine that they wouldn't want to do this and get a speedy. Like you talk about route running, he's awesome. Good hands. He's had some big games before against big teams, so I'm all for that. Now, here's the problem, and this is what he didn't ask us. Where do you pick him? Because if you're at 30, I think that's it could be a hair of a reach there.
I'll take him there all day long.
At 30?
All day and tomorrow.
Yeah. I like him, and he fits that guy, and I can't imagine he won't be pressing for them to take him.
I agree.
He's not a monster, but he's fast, and he catches the football.
We got our number one.
Well, he'd be a slot.
Run A, 1B with Andrews and Zay Flowers. You get him as a compliment, I'd see the vision, especially with Derrick Henry and how defenses are going to have to respect that.
All right, next up, I did see Albert Breer put out there that the teams that would play on the Christmas Wednesday day would play the week prior on the Saturday to try to match up like a Sunday, Thursday night, back-to-back, similar to what we see each year. Are you in or out, if you were a player on the team that had to be in that situation, are you in or out on that schedule?
I'm out because of the travel, too, right? Well,
how many days off would they get?
So you'd be off Sunday through, I mean, technically without games, Sunday through Tuesday?
But you're traveling what? Probably all, I don't know how long the flight is off the top of my head, but one of those days is, I'm sure, a heavy travel day over to Brazil. I would hate this.
No, it's not Brazil.
He's talking about Christmas.
Christmas.
Oh, my bad. Okay, then that's not as bad. Then take out the air travel there. So it's still not great. We've heard players complain for years now about the quick turnarounds and some of the games that we're getting as fans. They're usually not that good because these guys are probably tired and beat up.
That's real, and you asked it from a player standpoint. You certainly wouldn't want it. From a fan standpoint, you'll take what you can get. So, you know, if it happens to be, first of all, Christmas Day games do incredible ratings, and if it's on a Wednesday, Thursday, who cares? So I'm for it. I wouldn't be for it as a player.
Dang, the NFL just couldn't let the NBA have their day, huh?
No, that's true, too.
I know. Adam Silver's like, come on, Raj. Why are you doing me like this, big dog?
They got dunked on, so to speak, in their own sport.
Yeah, that's tough.
No. All right, those are your ins and outs for today. If CB's really putting a C note on this, like this has to happen at some point, I don't know if he's really backing that.
I think it's safer
to offer it to you, clearly. I think that's why he did it. He felt real safe. That money was safe. I thought he'd put out a number that maybe you could call him on.
If I was setting lines, you would be the heavy favor AR.
But he would have been wearing diapers if you would offered like a big number
diapers.
And you would have called him on it, and then he's got to put it up.
Why does he need to wear diapers?
Because he would have done something in his pants. If he would have said, Maddie, I'll give you $500 to eat six chicken fingers right now.
I'm eating it in 3 minutes.
Or the whole Kaniac thing he was talking about. And he overstepped his approach, thinking there's no way you would do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have been safer, CB, to say, I'll give you $100 right now if I can cut a big hunk of that retirement cake and have Maddie eat it before 3 o'clock. I think you would have been safe there.
I think I kind of agree with you.
We don't know. We'll never know.
Like Kanye West said, I guess we'll never know.
We'll never know unless we actually pull out the $100 bill. Then we'll know.
Does he have that on him right now?
I don't carry cash.
I don't care. Man, just got that black card, doesn't he?
Is black card still
the card? Like, I know back in the day that was a thing. That was the flex.
I mean,
like,
is it really a thing?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
My credit card's better than yours. Jeez.
Who are we? What have we become?
I just thought back in the day that like that was a thing. Like if you had the black card, you're out here. You're out here.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But CB?
I mean, I think cash is always king. If you opened up and you flash in that cash, even more than the credit card, I imagine. But who knows?
That's a dangerous game.
Pat Murphy, Bucknuts.com next. The future of the Hoops team as we're entering into that. And also, obviously, football spring knee deep in that. We'll get both next. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. I just freaked the hell out of someone.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Thoughtfully discussing the merits of Home Run Inn's frozen pizza. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, our friend Patrick Murphy, it's the Ohio State beat writer for Bucknuts 24/7. He's with us now on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline. Pat, welcome back.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Well, listen, I think the fact that Ohio State basketball avoided that upset to Cornell off of the hiring of Jake Diebler wasn't monumental, but I think it was necessary. And then they went a little run where I think the fandom kind of re-engaged, and they re-engaged to support Jake and this team that didn't let the season just wilt and die. But now that it is over, give me your sense of the future and how you're going to judge this thing in the offseason. Recruiting, portal, retention, talent, all that. How will they keep this good feeling up through offseason into the fall?
It's funny you mentioned that. I was talking right before we left to Gary Pettit, the SID, and last offseason, you know, coming off the way that ended, there wasn't much to talk about in the offseason because there just wasn't a lot of positivity. And I said to Gary, hey, let's not make this the last time we all get together, because I think there is a lot of, you know, good juice flowing out of this program right now, and people are excited. You saw that last night. So, look, I think the first thing is going to be what the players decide to do. And that's transfer portal, obviously, is the key there. You know, these guys have put that aside to end this season and try and push it as long as they could. And so we'll see on that. You know, I think a lot of these guys have some interesting decisions. I think part of the reason you hire Jake Diebler is because you think he can bring some continuity to it. So that's the first thing, you know, that will kind of come out next. Along with, I guess, the you know, what this coaching staff is going to look like. But I think from a fan perspective, they'll be more interested in who's going to be back on the player side. And then, you know, I'm interested to talk with Jake Diebler throughout the summer and kind of, you know, see how this is all going. This is the first time he's done this on his own, right? And so, you know, how he's managing things, how offseason may look different than it did under Chris Holtmann and things like that. And, you know, obviously recruiting and keeping the class they have together, all of this. And so, you know, I know we generally get into the off season, it's a lot of football leading into the fall, but there's certainly some intrigue in this basketball program and what it's going to look like next season.
Sticking with the Hoop squad, and you know, when I ask you about the portal, and I'm sure you've seen some of the smoke that was out there when it comes to Michi Johnson, what have you been hearing about that? And kind of a two-parter here, do you think that would be a nice addition to next year's team if they could land Michi Johnson again?
What a crazy world we live in. When Michi leaves a few years ago, goes and has success in South Carolina, comes back, you know, potentially, or at least that we're talking about it. I think there is some of it that makes sense. You know, Ohio State doesn't have a lot, unless guys leave, a lot of room here to make moves this offseason. I think there's one scholarship available, if my math on that is correct. So you've got to figure out, if you're Jake Diebler, what the priority is if you're going to go into the transfer portal. And for me, they're going to lose Jameson Battle, who was not only a good shooter, but a forward who could rebound and do some other things, play against some bigger defenders. To me, that would be the bigger priority than bringing in another smaller guard. I like what Michi's done in terms of his development over these last 2 years down in South Carolina. And, you know, I think he would fit in if you had the spot and he were interested. But I don't know if that's like a priority add when there might be other guys that kind of make more sense in terms of roster construction, if that makes sense.
Talking with Patrick Murphy of Bucknuts. All right, let's switch to football. And how big of a deal is it that this kid from Florida decommitted, this receiver, the four-star kid for the class of 2025, Boggs? How big of a deal is that and how it compares to the class itself?
Yeah, I mean, you never like to see it, right? You know, this is a kid with Ohio roots who, you know, the Buckeyes were kind of hoping, even though they figured he would blow up some, that connection back to the state and to the program would kind of hold him in. Obviously, that didn't happen as he's going to take other visits and whatnot, but he's not the only highly ranked wide receiver that Ohio State has been involved with, right? You know, they've had even just the last weekend, this weekend, had guys on campus, Verno Brown III, Jamie French are two names that just immediately come to mind, but there's a handful of guys that they're excited about and guys that have interest in. So, look, at the wide receiver position, when you do lose a guy, it's unfortunate, but we know what Brian Hartline can do and what he has done and his track record. So while I think they are certainly disappointed over at the WAC to see that Boggs is going to look elsewhere, they know that, you know, it's just kind of, all right, next man up, where are we going to go with this thing? And they certainly have a plan and you know, a production of wide receivers over there that I wouldn't be too concerned as a Buckeye fan.
We were reacting earlier, Pat, to some Larry Johnson sound, and you know, talking point for us was the depth of the D line. I think the guys that are returning that looks really good. But how do you feel about the bodies in that room and guys that are going to be able to contribute if you get an injury or just fatigue or whatever it may be throughout the season?
I think the numbers are good. You know, Larry Johnson kind of rattled off a handful of guys, both at defensive end and defensive tackle, who, you know, could step in, but it's that could step in part that you just need to see it, right? And, you know, we've heard Kenyatta Jackson, Caden Curry, Hero Kanu, those names the last couple of years. They haven't gotten a lot of snaps because the other guy's on the field. But with this season, you mentioned injuries, the length of the season's potentially going to be longer. You're going to need to rotate more. And Larry Johnson brought up, I forget what year exactly it was, but the Joey Bosa, Sam Hubbard, Chase Young, like that group where the Rushmen really kind of developed and, you know, they had that really good rotation, both on the edges and on the interior. And I think you're going to need that again. But that only happens if these guys are ready to go, you know, kind of that second group there. And, you know, those guys are getting into their third, fourth years in the program, and it's time to, you know, start producing. So even though that you got the starters back, I think they will be called upon to prove that they can be impact players when they get on the field.
Does the spring game being nationally televised by Fox mean anything as far as them feeling compelled to put on a little bit different of a show or more elaborate show, or no?
I don't know how much it will affect, you know, Ryan Day's pregame message or what the players do. You know, I don't know how much they will think about that. It's not like it's going to be at prime time or anything, but I do think it is pretty cool if you're Ohio State, because it shows kind of the expectations of this program. And we know that, right? Players have talked about it. Coaches have talked about it. They know what this season should be if things go the way they expect. But for the first time ever, and you think about, you know, how long the spring game's been televised and the teams that Ohio State has had, this shows that the national people also think that this team is worth watching, and even so, you know, in a glorified scrimmage, right? So I think that was kind of the outlook I had on it, was, yeah, these expectations are here, guys. You're going to have to live up to them. And, you know, everyone is going to be watching, even the spring game.
No doubt. Pat, thanks for jumping on, my man. Always good to talk to you. Be well.
Yep, good to talk to you guys. Thanks.
Pat Murphy, Bucknuts.com on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. All right. The spring game tickets, of course, are going to be going on. Well, they are on sale, right? We've got, I think, a little information about that next. And Jake Diebler on the hire of Coach Dickerson and where the program is headed. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
No hot takes, no dancing, plenty of stupid. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Feeling the chill? Call the experts at Logan Services now for hot deals on Trane furnaces, including 0% APR for 60 months.
All right, offseason finally in the books for Ohio State basketball. They extended it. I don't think it was what you'd categorize as a heartbreaking ending, but it certainly was one that they wanted to continue. I thought they had the game when they went on that 17-0 run, especially at home. The building was on fire. You just thought that that momentum would carry them through. It did not. Give Georgia some credit. They made a couple big threes. They made two big free throws at the end that put the pressure back on Ohio State. And then Ohio State went for the all or nothing. We're going to live by the sword, die by it. They went for a couple of threes, down two. Neither one fell, one by Thornton, one by Battle. So you had the right guy shooting it, and he drew it up. It just didn't go in. And so the season ends. They fought hard, and it makes you feel like that the program has some new energy back in it, and rightfully so. He went on a very good run.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm glad you brought up that last play because, you know, a lot of the focus now moving on from Jake outside of the games is how is he going to construct his roster, and roster is now moving forward. But I think that was great to see, is that you have a coach that in a critical moment could draw up a play to get a clean look. And I know that may sound pretty basic, but it's easier said than done. And so the fact that he showed that in critical situations when they had to have it, you can get it to your guys and have those guys get you in a situation that maybe they could win the game, tie the game, or whatever. I thought that was great to see that he has those in the bag. And, you know, with experience, there's going to be more and more of that coming from him.
All right, so now the real job starts outside of the coaching job, and that's about this roster and moving forward and Jake shaping it the way he thinks it should be.
I don't know that I can get into specifics on that, but retention's critical. Roster management is it's a completely different landscape right now. But for us, retention's going to be important in that, certainly.
We're going to find out how much these guys really believe in him. That we're going to find out now. I mean, I think it can be easy to say that in the middle of a season, to not create a distraction, to say, you know, I'm looking elsewhere, whatever it may be. But now is the time. Got to put up or shut up time to really see the belief in Coach Diebler from the guys that are currently over there at Ohio State.
Everything came back to him for Ross Bjork, it felt like. Everything came back to Jake being the guy. And so now they put their faith in him. Yep. You know he's going to put in the work and try to prove it. And I said the other day, you know, sometimes you're only as good as the collective behind you in this era that he was alluding to. The good news is I think Ross knows the era, and I think he knows that Jake embraces the era, and he might have a good feeling being only 37 as a guy who can really relate to what's going on right now rather than getting a guy that's, you know, in his late 50s or 60s or someone that's been around. So here we are, and Ohio State needs to make some noise. When it comes to next year, this little fun story we just that he took us on over the last month and a half, it's going to be over.
Doesn't matter.
It's going to be for those guys to remember. Yep. It's going to be for the Jameson Battles to remember. And they should have some pride in it, but it doesn't mean anything moving forward. He's going to be judged. He was judged on what he did to get the job. Now that he has the job, he resets again.
And fair or not, people are always going to compare him to what Dusty May does at Michigan. Similar to what you were talking about earlier with the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams and Justin Fields and how those guys looked the rest of the way because there was some smoke around Dusty May and maybe their interest in Dusty. We don't know how real that was, but that's now the reality of this. And that's not for Jake to worry about right now, nor do I think he's going to consume himself with that. But we know that's going to be a talking point, is how those guys roll out there over the next 2-3 years for Michigan and Ohio State, and who's the better guy, who gets their team further in the tournament, and all those things, you know, we all know you want to accomplish as a basketball program.
Said it the other day, their timelines start together, and it's a rival, the rival. So here we are. Now, people could maybe debate it's not the rival in basketball, but it certainly is right there. If I went over to Ohio State right now and polled, you know, 250 students walking by, and I said, okay, Ohio State men's basketball, who do you want to beat the most? They're not saying Indiana, because Indiana's not great anymore. Yeah, they're saying Michigan.
Right. It should be
the answer most times.
No doubt.
But, I mean, maybe when Indiana was Indiana and Bob Knight was there, you know, he had that aura that you wanted to beat them. Mm. But it should be Michigan, and it is. All right. I did mention the spring game situation, and the tickets are on sale. They're $10, although Maddie might want to pony up for the big $40 seat or
whatever.
Wait,
what can I get with that?
I'm not sure.
Oh.
Maybe just a better view. I mean, that's, you know, that's what usually better seats give you. At least you hope.
Man, I thought maybe I could catch a pass from Will Howard or try to tackle Quinshon or something.
I'll tell you what. Don't be shy on that. Maybe there's an NIL opportunity if you want to pay enough.
Maybe on the summer.
Maybe after the game we can get a couple little one-on-one routes for you. But, yeah, they've got general admission for $10. There's limited number of reserve seating that they're like $22 and $37.
Okay,
we're gonna lop a service charge maybe on top of that. I'm not positive, but the good news is we're not gonna charge you to park. So
that's nice.
Yeah,
that's very nice because parking can get a little hectic on Saturdays. I know the crowd probably won't be as heavy as it is on our normal Saturday, but I am excited, man, to see the spring game. And we know it's just a glorified scrimmage for the most part, but I think this year with some of the new faces, whether it's Caleb Downs or Quinshon Judkins and obviously Will Howard, just see what we get from those guys. Even a guy like Sonny Styles, who we know is a very talented player, but his position change, how comfortable does he look? Not that that's going to be the end-all be-all, because clearly we'll have months until we get to the regular season, but there's definitely some intrigue for me, and I'm going to assume for a lot of people it's going to be wrapped around the quarterback and even Devin Brown, right? His story has just been, hey, he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. I still don't know what he's capable of week in and week out consistently. We saw last year, Coach Day cooked up a package for him, had him out there, you know, helping out the run game down in the red zone and situations like that. But the opportunity he had against Missouri in the Cotton Bowl was unfortunately stripped away from him just because of a tweak there. So that's going to be fun to see how Coach Day divides up, you know, the touches for the running backs, but specifically the quarterbacks. How do those guys look?
Yeah, that will be it. It's one of those things. The spring game is for a lot of people that can go to the game that wouldn't necessarily invest or want to be able to afford to go to a regular game at the prices they are now.
It's expensive, yeah. Can be.
And it's also just fun to see your team running out there in that uniform, no matter what they're doing, whether they're running through arm tackles or whether they're just throwing deep shots and all that.
Yeah, so it's a good excuse as a fan to tailgate, party, drink a few, fire up the grills, play some music. It's a good time. Yeah.
We do want to see Will Howard throw football, though.
Yeah, man.
I think live. I think there's
no doubt.
There's something there.
Because you don't want to have it go, because if it goes the other way, and if he has a bad outing, let's say, not that that, again, that's not going to be the end-all be-all, but I think you want to make a good impression on your fan base, right? Coming in from Kansas State, the guy that Coach Day wanted coming out of the portal at that position, you want to have a good showing.
They got a lot of quarterbacks over there right now.
Really do.
Like, it feels like they're fairly loaded.
I'm glad you brought that up. Like, Aaron Nolan and
well,
Lincoln.
Five scholarship quarterbacks, maybe?
And Julian Sand. I mean, he came up from the Southern region, right? And he is highly touted as a recruit. So, I'm glad you brought those dudes up. There's a lot there with those quarterbacks.
Yeah, this isn't just about, I mean, I understand where you stand on Devin, but Julian and Air, and obviously Will, and then the others, but
that's real.
I think I count, is that five scholarship quarterbacks?
It sure is.
Yeah.
The mass math and big dog.
Mm-hmm. The Browns are almost up to that number.
Oh.
If they get a fifth, they'd be in good shape.
Got his new wide receiver asking some interesting questions on Instagram.
I'm glad you mentioned that. That's today's Buckeye Bulletin. I mean, because we talked all about Jerry Jeudy and what follows him. And you just don't need to make any kind of weird sidesteps this early in the process. Now, this may be something that
completely innocent. It could be.
Well, I don't know if it's completely innocent. I think it may be innocent in that he may have gone for a cheap laugh and he didn't sense where it would land. But we'll tell you about it next. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Maxima Concrete. Visit MaximaConcrete.com today to schedule your free estimate.
All right, final hour of the program. Brad Crawford, college football analyst, 24/7 Sports, 233. I'll get into a couple of interesting stories this hour. We mentioned Jerry Jeudy. And the oddity of the contract and how much they gave him. I'm not saying Browns fans shouldn't be excited that maybe they can tap into this talent that the Broncos couldn't. It's really $41 million guaranteed is pretty amazing. What they gave to get him is nice. The fifth and sixth rounder, like that's fine. Taking a flyer on a guy who's a former first rounder who's going to be 25 years old for a couple day three picks on the surface when that happened, I'm like, wow, nice job. Put him up opposite Amari Cooper and all that. And then you start seeing these guarantees and all that. Maybe you should be a little more worried. You're paying the guy $19 million this year. You're paying him, and by the way, first 2 years of the deal are fully guaranteed.
Mm.
That's a pretty big deal.
Here's what Andrew Berry said about the contract. Yeah, so one of the things that we feel like is a...
I thought you were going to say, yeah, so what?
No, we said one of the things that we feel like is a competitive advantage for us has been our contract management philosophy. And we're firm believers that in that space, the best front offices or the best teams are proactive as opposed to reactionary and market dynamics. In Jerry's case, you already saw two new receiver contracts enter the market that really are, I don't know what just happened here. But essentially what he's saying is, here's the rest of the quote. I mean, probably by the week one of the NFL season, the top of the market's going to be north of $30 million. So they feel like they're getting out in front of this. We also know that Amari Cooper and Elijah Moore are off their books after this year. So they clearly believe in him that eventually maybe he can be their number one, but at minimum, AR, he can be a nice number two receiver that you are paying decent money to, because there haven't been a bunch of teams the last few years that have paid a couple receivers $20 million more on the same roster.
This guy's making roughly the same amount as Jeudy, like DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and DeAndre Hopkins. And like all I'm saying is Brandon Ayuk. Like, all I'm saying is, you put him in that category, let's see if he can shine.
And maybe he will shine.
He might.
It's just for you and I, the sticker shock was pretty eye-opening when he hasn't done anything for your franchise just yet, and his track record has been up and down.
Now to the other part of the story.
Okay.
Now the rest of the story. And I'm sure that there's one guy that hated having to relive any of this, because it's been a while since we talked about Deshaun Watson using at least 66 massage therapists over 17 months.
Right.
Like, couldn't find one that worked for you? We know the story. Mm-hmm. And so, I didn't see this. You guys saw it. Jerry Jeudy on his Instagram. Who would like to describe what was written?
I think CB has it pulled up, because it was
Did he screenshot it?
If it's still there, I wonder if he even left it up.
No, it's been taken down now.
Okay, please read it verbatim.
So I do have a screenshot that was posted online, and I verified this was up prior to our show starting, but it was just a black screen with the message, "I need a massage specialist," with the location that he's in.
Just read the room, man.
You're now a Cleveland Brown, sir.
Read the room, man. Like I said, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt on this one, that maybe it was innocent. I highly doubt AR that this dude would be trying to start any stuff with the guy that's going to have to get him the ball consistently.
That's my quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that would just be so crazy to me.
if he's up there stirring things up or trying to get a cheap laugh out of that.
Why would he need to solicit for that on his IG where all this happened?
It's a fair question. I don't know. I don't know.
You're a professional football player. You don't. To me, I'm not giving him at all the benefit of that.
Is some type of jab?
No, I feel like Deshaun? He went for kind of a cheap laugh. Okay. This is the ancient history when it comes to Deshaun. Like, I mean,
I got a problem with that if I'm Deshaun.
Well, of course you should.
I got a problem. I got a problem with that because that is just
trying to put my past in the keep it in the
there
past.
There you go. There you go. And some people may never ever forgive Deshaun for that, and I understand that completely. But where we are now with what this team's trying to accomplish, and especially for Deshaun, where this has got to be all about football because you're trying to prove again. You know, here in year three, I believe, up in Cleveland, that I'm your guy. And there's a reason why you gave me the money. Now, here we are, March 27th, with this kind of a distraction. It's just unnecessary.
I don't know 100%. I'm just using my instincts. Like, there's no reason for him to do that. He knows. He knows the story. He's been around.
Yeah.
He knows who his quarterback is. I mean, the story was that Watson was getting all these lower-end massage therapists on IG. Like, he was finding them there. They were advertising their businesses. They were people that weren't working for big professional therapeutic companies. They were self-made people trying to build a clientele. Those are the people that allegedly that accused him of allegedly doing what he did. And your brand-new receiver pops off on IG saying, where can I find a massage? Like, it just seems too convenient. And it feels like a cheap laugh. And with his history, it's hard to give him the benefit of the doubt. But here we are, and they'll have to, like I said, this is going to evaporate quickly. It's kind of a today microwave situation,
right?
And then it goes away. And it, by the way, it did already go away because he deleted the damn thing. If it was that real, why would he delete it?
I know. Yeah.
If you didn't do anything wrong, why were there a reason to apologize?
It's a head scratcher.
Yeah. The other amazing story today is the potential windfall that might come Caitlin Clark's way if she decides to go another route, not another route outside of basketball, but another route outside of the WNBA. The story that was circulating today, and you guys could maybe tell me a little more about this league and all that, but actually we did talk about the Ice Cube League.
You know about the Big Three.
Yeah, that's right.
You hooped in the Big Three a couple years ago.
He has offered the Iowa Hawkeye, maybe Gus Macker. He was offered, or she was offered by Ice Cube, $5 million to not join this thing forever and sign some kind of five-year deal. Give me 8 regular season games, and maybe if you're good enough, a couple of playoff games, and you can also go ahead and play in the WNBA, and here's $5 million. So my question is, how could she turn this down?
Okay, I did not know that he was offering her the out of still playing in the WNBA. I thought that
all I heard was the deal was only for 8 regular season games. Now, can I give you the next one?
Please.
So on top of that, I don't know how real these are, that Dave Portnoy,
that's your guy,
Barstool, he did just rescue a wonderful new pit bull.
That's your guy.
I mean, the most beautiful, Miss Peaches is the most beautiful little dog.
Yeah, he's not for me.
David or the dog?
He's just not my type of guy.
Well, when you said your guy, I don't really follow. I don't know anything about it. Anyway, Barstool has some intramural team. Is this correct?
I don't know.
And I don't know how real this is or if he just did it for publicity, but he said, I'll double it.
10 milli?
10 mil. Now, here's, before you say, like, how in the world can anybody do this? If you can get this stuff televised, you've got this money covered because you're going to be selling it to advertisers and you're going to make this money back times whatever. Like the ratings, how many people watched that Iowa game the other night?
Yeah.
3 million?
Mm-hmm.
She is that big of an attraction right now. I don't know if she would be the ultimate investment in the future as far as her play, but right now she is the hottest thing going in basketball. And one guy steps up and says, give me 8, 10 games tops for $5 million. And then another guy jumps in and says, I'll double it.
You got to do
it. Is it real?
You have to do this. You have to do it. Because to put this in perspective of what some of the women make in the WNBA, the highest paid player right now in the league is Ella Delladon.
80, 90?
She's making 100? 899 grand. Yeah. A season.
Wait, how much?
899,400.
She's making 900,000
a season. The highest paid player in the league in the WNBA. And she's being offered millions.
Yeah.
Gotta do it.
I feel like this is one of those things that it's almost too good to be true, but when you think about her and what she is now as far as the attraction, if she was reportedly offered. Now, if I was her picking between the two, of course, you don't want to leave $5 million on the table, and maybe this is beautiful because she can leverage it against the big three. But I believe that the Ice Cube offer was real.
Oh, I believe him for sure, especially as a businessman trying to keep that league rolling. By the way, shout out to the former Buckeye, Kelsey Mitchell, sixth in the league in AAV in the WNBA. So she's doing some good things. But for Caitlin Clark, I can't wait to see whether or not this star power that she has will continue on into the WNBA or the big three, but specifically the WNBA, because there's been stars that have come out that have been really good, like Asia Wilson, and she is an attraction in the league, but will she still have that same punch? I don't know if it's going to be the same.
I think it'd be a very risky investment. Let me ask you a couple different things. I don't know if you know the answer to this. One, if she's drafted, she will be drafted number one by the Indiana Fever on April 15th. I can't see any other situation. Would they allow her?
That's a great question.
Go do that?
I can't.
Their answer
would probably be, nah, Caitlin, we don't want
you
to.
Yeah, I don't think there'd be a choice here. And then the other part is the rookie salaries, because I just looked up the rookie salaries. You told me who the highest paid one. The rookie salaries for lottery draft picks 1 through 4 in the WNBA are $76,000. They could climb to $97,000 by their fourth season.
Yeah.
Now, she makes a mint off the court, but that's probably real. She wouldn't be making the money you're talking about that other girl making. So now we get to find out what is the most important thing to her. Now, if she can do both, the big three and WNBA, I think she'd want to do the WNBA.
But you don't want to leave that money on the table either. That's crazy.
No, and that's it. And all things can wait when it comes to
millions of dollars,
the money. But her attraction right now, I mean, it couldn't be higher. Mm-hmm. This is the time to strike, and that money may not exist. She may go into the WNBA and be awesome and be as awesome as she has been as a player. Mm-hmm. But those two offers apparently on the table today. Hard Knocks is trying to reinvent itself a little bit. Will we watch? We'll tell you the details next. Rothman and Knights on the Fan.
If you don't like listening to Morning Juice, Bobby Carpenter's man nipples will punch you in the face.
For real.
You want to fight, do you?
Weekdays from 6 to 9.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2 for 2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rockman and Ice present Free Snap Reads.
Sponsored by the Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
All right, Iceman, a little Bet365 first.
Yes, sir. You know, yesterday I looked at D'Angelo Russell's over-under for points at 20.5, and I felt pretty good about that, and D'Lo came through. D'Lo had 29 points in the game, along with 12 assists, and D'Lo was 10 of 10 from the free throw line. I see you. D'Lo, I'm going back to the NBA tonight, and I'm going down to Orlando, Florida, because the Warriors and Steph Curry are in the building, and I'm looking at Steph's over-under at 25.5, and I'm actually going to take the under on that. I like the size that they can throw at Steph. Paolo Banchero and company, that's a fun young team. So give me the under for Steph at -120 at 25.5. You got your eye on it?
You've been hot. I'm gonna ride that as well. I'm gonna tailgate that one.
It's never ordinary at Bet365. Sign up at oh.bet365.com. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And may the odds be ever in your favor.
saving my shekels for some Masters futures.
Mm. Tiger?
Nah.
Come on, man. Show some respect to my GOAT.
I have plenty of respect. Just don't think I'm going to back him. I'm not saying, you know, 150 to 1 might not be fun,
Why don't you go ahead and put a grand on Scotty? He'll probably bring it home, won't he?
You know, Scotty, there are worse bets to make.
There you go.
Than Scheffler at the mat. Honestly, there are. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is finally Rory's year.
CB, that's his his adopted son at this point.
Can I get him into the winner's circle at Augusta?
Rory McIlroy. The two guys that hate live golf more than anybody on the planet. Anthony Rothman and Rory McIlroy.
I've lost all the hope. They've all left me. Oh. They're all gone, sir.
Every man's got a price.
Clearly.
I mean, that's what it is.
All right.
Mm-hmm. It's been a minute. It's been a minute since we heard that. Oh, man. It's your boy, Greg Norman.
I'll tell you this, I'll tell you, and I'm being really honest with you. I've watched the least amount of professional golf since that happened in forever.
You've been out? Turned off?
I've kind of lost that feel. Now, I still watch the majors, and I watch the players, and I watched, obviously, this weekend at the Valspar, but I used to be absolutely glued. Obviously, we will be at the Memorial, but
if Greg Norman was there and said, can I come on your show? How would that conversation?
If he'll answer the tough questions, he'd be like saying, hey, Pete Rose wants to come on, but he doesn't want to talk about gambling. Oh, great, thanks. What should we talk about?
I would have my popcorn ready, and I would be participating, though, but I'd still be eating popcorn. It'd be a good show.
So now I was a big fan of Greg when he won here. I mean, he was a big deal. He started dating Chrissy Evert.
Oh.
Things went south there.
Oh.
Almost won the British.
Mm.
She was walking around following him.
Now he's an enemy.
The Hard Knock situation is interesting because they're going to focus now their in-season Hard Knocks, which is always weird, the in-season one. I mean, we consume so much football. Sometimes I don't have any more room. Well, I can't make room for you.
It doesn't help either.
In-season Hard Knocks.
I hear you, big dog, but it doesn't help either when the first two that kicked this thing off were the Colts and the Cardinals. It just weren't fun teams. I did hear some of my friends say that the Miami Dolphins version last year was entertaining because they were a fun football team with some star power there with Tyreek and company. So people like that, I didn't tap in that much either. I watched like one episode last year, and that was it. But looks like the NFL, they're trying to remix this thing a little bit, huh?
Well, they're making a significant change. This is the in-season edition, which, like I said, I just don't have time for it. I'm sure it's very good. There's only so much room, especially during football season. But they have added in-season Hard Knocks is going to focus on an entire division rather than a single team.
Okay.
It's been going on for a long time. It's been a hell of a series, 20-plus years, and they've always had the preseason edition of Hard Knocks, and now they have the in-season edition. But you're right. It may have been the team certainly are the big pull, but by taking a singular team, they can't really control what types of storylines play out, right? And so now, if they go to a whole division in season, they'll have it covered. You showcase an entire division, and all of a sudden now, the cool part about the in season is that we kind of know what preseason's about. Making the team, not making the team, different storylines, battles, coaches, all that. Mm-hmm. Once you're in the season, now you get to see what teams go through that we don't usually get to see. Yeah. So maybe I will have to check this one out. There's a possibility the division could be picked in which every team has a chance to either win the division or make the playoffs until late in the year. So that's fun. So what are they going to do?
Your division could be a fun one. The NFC North could be pretty entertaining this year. I think with the addition of Caleb Williams, where the Lions are with Dan Campbell as an interesting character, Jordan Love, and how those guys bounce back. Like, I was trying to think of what division I would want them to cover, obviously outside of the North, but we consume so much AFC North stuff. I don't even know if I'd want that at that point. I wouldn't be mad at the AFC West. You got the champs in there, Harbaugh's over there, Sean Payton going down, you know, a different path of figuring out what the heck they're doing at quarterback, Antonio Pierce and Max Crosby. I like those dudes. So I wouldn't be mad at the AFC West. What would be your preference?
I mean, you nailed them both for me, which is the AFC North and the NFC North. I mean, think about the division. You have a division in the AFC North
now that has Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson.
What's his name again?
Oh, yeah, Mr. Unlimited.
It's the Unlimited.
Justin Fields.
Mr. Unlimited.
And I know you like this. They'll probably throw Jameis into a couple episodes.
Listen,
for you.
Jameis, I'm telling you, as a Browns fan, I think people are going to enjoy
Famous Jameis.
Just what he brings.
Really?
To, yes. I think he's hilarious. I think Jameis is a funny dude.
He is. It is interesting to me. He's kind of at this point in his career, I'm just happy to be here and help the ball club. I think he's got a little bit of that going, which is fun. But the NFC North is going to be a beast.
Yeah.
Lions are a great story right now to follow up their success. The Packers are legit. The Bears will have the number one pick. The Vikings have an awesome receiver, but no quarterback. And by the way, I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday, so it is going to be Bears-Texans at the Hall of Fame game in Canton in August. That was announced. Now, they like to pitch it as this guy versus this guy, but it's preseason. Yeah, it usually doesn't happen. Like last year when I was up there and Aaron Rodgers was on the sideline.
Right, and it'll probably be playing the same thing this year. C.J. Stroud eating sunflower seeds next to Nico Collins and Tank Dell.
I mean, what it could have been would have been C.J. Stroud versus Justin Fields. If he was still there. But they probably wouldn't have gone
CJ's
anyway.
CJ's not picking up a football that day.
You don't think so?
No. They'd be foolish to do that.
Up in Canton, you don't think he's going to get the feel?
No. If D'Amico Ryans comes to him with that, you need to say, Coach, kick rocks.
All right, so that's been announced. Yeah, I can't tell you whether or not those two divisions are the ones that would be the ones that would get there.
AFC South wouldn't be bad either.
What about the Bears preseason for Hard Knocks?
Ooh. Like, who is going to be the standalone team for the traditional Hard Knocks? That is, well, you know, there's so many requirements there. I think the Bears would qualify, though.
Yeah, especially with the top pick.
Roger Goodell would probably love that.
Bears wouldn't.
No?
No. I don't think you want it. I think if you have your choice, you don't want it.
There does seem to be a decent amount of pushback.
Yeah, you try to be careful because you don't want to go out, although some coaches do it and some GMs do it, some presidents, so they're like, you walk that line because you don't want it to seem like you're weak and afraid of it, but you also don't want to embrace it. It's a fine line.
I don't know if any team would be able to top the Antonio Brown Raiders drama that we got a couple years
ago. Incredible.
That was nuts.
All right, those are your pre-snappers for today. Buckeyes are certainly the beast of the offseason. Brad Crawford is the college football analyst for 24/7 Sports. We'll put him on the guaranteed scale as far as Ohio State. And I won't say winning at all. I'll just say playing for it all. That's next. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
Your mama say you ugly. Hey!
The Fan. Ohio sports tested.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
A perfect afternoon parlay. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, welcome back. All right, spring game coming April 13th, but real deal this fall with Ohio State. They certainly have some sort of figurative trophy for the offseason, but that's not going to make Ryan Day sleep well at night. He wants the real deal. Brad Crawford is with us, 24/7 Sports college football analyst. Brad, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I've asked this question to a number of people. I'll ask it to you. Expanded playoff, harder, easier, or the same for a program like Ohio State to win it all?
I think it's probably the same, but I think entry is much easier for Ohio State. The Buckeyes don't have to concern themselves with winning the Big Ten, because if you go 10-2 in a loaded league like the SEC or the Big Ten, you're probably going to get there as an at-large. So I think Ohio State's going to be in pretty good standing here in this 14-team playoff. And then once we expand to more, it's going to be even easier for the Buckeyes based on the way they've recruited these last couple seasons.
Brad, I know, there's a decent amount of Buckeye fans that are excited to see what Caleb Downs is going to bring to this defense. Yeah. What do you know about him as a player? What did Ryan Day and that defensive staff land?
Caleb Downs is a monster, man. I watched every snap of him last season at Bama. He was a great high school player, five-star. Nick Saban knew that he was going to be one of those rare true freshman starters, and he did that since day one. And you know, he had a freshman All-America type season. I think he's one of the most impactful transfers this cycle. I know us at 24/7 Sports ranked him as the number one overall player in the portal. I would agree with that. I think Quinshon Judkins in the backfield is going to be a monster. So Ohio State really loaded up on, you know, seven or eight really quality transfers. And this is one of the best rosters Ryan Day's had in his tenure.
No doubt. And look at what they've done. They've snapped back defensively, as you mentioned, who they got there with Downs. But, I mean, they return all these guys that played so much last season. They all come back with a purpose. NIL certainly had a ton to do with that. But the old unfinished business combined with the NIL should produce maybe one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in the country. Is there another defense that you see on paper that competes with Ohio State?
Yeah, I think Georgia's defense is going to be equally talented, but it's not near as experienced as Ohio State. And I think Ohio State and Georgia's schedules are both comparable. Bulldogs' schedule is a little bit tougher. Got to go to Bama. Got to go to Texas. That's pretty tough for Kirby Smart. But I'm with you, man. I think Ohio State's defense can certainly be number one. And like you said, this is really a testament this offseason to Ohio State's NIL prowess. And a couple months ago, you know, we weren't sure if Ohio State was top 10 in NIL. Buckeyes have certainly proved that these last few months.
I want to ask you about the Dogs, but stay on the offensive side of the ball. I know Carson Beck's going to be back, but Brock Bowers is he's taking his talents to the NFL. The cast around Carson Beck, I was going to say Brock Bowers, but around their QB1, how you feeling about those guys?
Yeah, the staff I've spoken with is really excited about Colby Young, the transfer from Miami. He's going to be one of their top wide receivers. You know, they got Vanderbilt's top wide receiver, sort of plucked him from Nashville. I think Carson Beck likes those two guys. And then Oscar Delp is going to be the new superstar behind Brock Bowers at tight end. You know, he's been on the bench these last 2 years, former five-star player. He had countless offers from Big Ten and SEC programs a couple years ago. And he's a guy that I think is going to have, you know, 50 to 60 targets this year, could have a big year. So the biggest question for me is not on the offensive line, not the skill positions, but it's in the backfield. You know, Georgia lost pretty much its running back one and running back two to the NFL draft and eligibility reasons. So I think that if they have a strong run game, Georgia's offense will certainly be, you know, a top 10 type unit.
Brad Crawford with us, 24/7 Sports, talking college ball on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. All right, Brad, last year I went bold and had Texas going into Tuscaloosa and getting it done. It led to great things for them. They have the established quarterback in Ewers. They've got an offensive line that's good, plenty of running backs, all that. Sarkisian's recruiting, I feel, there's big-time talent. Now, they do go to Michigan on September 7th. Now we'll see if they're still on a natty hangover or not, but give me your thoughts on Texas crashing this championship party this year.
Yeah, don't be surprised if the Longhorns are about a 3 to 4 point favorite on the road in that game against the defending national champions. There's going to be a lot of portal movement in Ann Arbor, I think, post-spring practice. Michigan's probably going to improve that roster a heck of a lot, but I still like Texas in that game. I think the Longhorns are one of the preseason SEC favorites, and rightfully so. You mentioned the roster. It's very good. They convinced Quinn Ewers to return. They did lose Xavier Worthy, but they got several top-end wideouts in the portal, pretty much pick and chose who they wanted. But, man, my surprise team, Texas last year, was a team that I thought could win the Big 12 and make the playoff. I projected that. I think Ole Miss is going to be a playoff team this season. I've got Ole Miss number 3 in my preseason top 25 way back in January. I would still have them there now. That roster is as good as any SEC teams this fall.
Interesting. Even with losing Quinshon Judkins, huh?
I think it will be. The run of that situation is a bit of a question mark, but with Jackson Dart back, you've got 3 wide receivers who essentially are wide receiver ones, and then you got 2 5-stars out of the portal. They got, you know, Florida's best pass rusher, then they got Walter Nolan, who was arguably Texas A&M's best player, too.
Okay, going to be fun to watch them. I want to stay in the SEC. I mean, as you know, it looks like LSU's going to have a chance to have 3 offensive guys come off the board in the first round between Nabers Thomas and Jaden Daniels. So looking at Brian Kelly and how they're resetting theirs, they're going to be a big step back on offense, or do you think they've done a good job of, you know, replenishing the cabinet?
Yeah, it's going to be tough to find a quarterback on that roster. That third Nate can get you a 50-yard gain like Jaden Daniels did. Garrett Nussmeier, you know, he's an experienced player, but he has played behind Jaden these last couple seasons. He did play against Georgia a couple years ago, SEC championship game. He had four touchdown passes against Wisconsin in the bowl game a few months ago. But I do think that offense will take a step back. But the biggest move for me this offseason in the SEC was Brian Kelly plucking Blake Baker, Mizzou's defensive coordinator. I mean, Mizzou won 11 games, beat Ohio State, and he was their best coach, and Brian Kelly went and got him. So I think LSU's defense, as bad as it was last season, it's going to be light years better than it was in 2024.
Massive rebuild for Florida State, feels like it. I know a lot of people had sympathy for them last year. I think you could have sympathy for them, and also in the same breath saying that they were absolutely a changed team once they had the tragic injury, and that's unfair, but it's life. How do you feel about Florida State kind of hanging in the relevancy category?
I think they're definitely one of the preseason ACC favorites. I would put Clemson, NC State, maybe even Miami with Cam Ward transfer in that same category. Mike Norvell, these last couple cycles, man, has proven to be the portal king along with Lane Kiffin. So I'm confident that that roster, despite losing probably double-digit NFL draft picks, is still going to be one of the better teams in college football. They do have some tough games. They get Clemson at Doak Campbell in November. So that's a game that I think is going to dictate who gets to the playoff from the ACC.
Where's USC headed now that Caleb Williams looks like he's going to be a Chicago Bear? What do they have cooking up with the absence of him now?
Yeah, Lincoln Riley better hope Miller Moss is the truth, because that schedule, I mean, to me, it sets up for like a 7-5 type year. And if Lincoln Riley has back-to-back 7-win seasons or so in Los Angeles, they're going to be wanting him gone, because that's a top 10 job. I think Lincoln Riley has lost some of the luster that maybe he had 2 years ago, and you're going to see that in the Big Ten, because the biggest knock on him during his career, man, is Lincoln Riley coach teams are not good in the trenches. And in the Big Ten, you have to be good along both the offensive and defensive fronts to be an elite team. So I'm looking forward to seeing USC, though. They open against LSU in Las Vegas, and that's a game that I think the loser of that might already be eliminated from playoff contention.
Yeah. Well, maybe he'll learn that you do have to play some defense at some point in football.
Maybe so.
Yeah. All right, my man. Great stuff. You always bring it strong. We appreciate you. We'll talk again soon.
Hey, thank y'all.
Thanks. Brad Crawford, college football analyst, 24/7 sports. Yeah, I mean, they got to improve that defense. They got to find a way to be more complimentary. Especially, you know, now they can't outscore everybody.
Yeah.
But he said it. Their schedule is ridiculous.
Who do they open with?
Well, they got, I don't know who they open. They got LSU. They get Michigan. They get Penn State. They get Washington. They get Notre Dame. Like, at least on the top of my head, I know they have all those. Now, where those are, I could probably find those for you in a second machine. But
that's tough. That absolutely is tough. You mentioned a team I'm fascinated by in there, and that's Penn State. Like, you know, I liked them last year. It was kind of just for them, and I know it's been tough for them to get Ohio State and Michigan, but people were saying Drew Aller is supposed to be one of those guys, so I wonder if they take the training wheels off of him this season. That way he can maybe highlight his potential or showcase more of his potential, because I do think he's a good quarterback, but maybe I was wrong in guessing that he would be one of the best in the conference, because I didn't see that consistently from him.
He got humbled, and he's going to have to go back to the drawing board and figure it out. So they are in the kickoff classic in Vegas,
okay,
USC and LSU. So that is the neutral to start with. And then 2 weeks later, they're at Michigan. And then they do host Penn State this year, USC. And then they go to Washington, and they will host Notre Dame. So
a lot of those teams are replacing their quarterback. Caleb Williams, mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, Sam Hartman.
McCarthy.
A lot of movement.
All right, we'll come back. Tell the truth next. Rothman Nice and the Fan.
If your idea of the perfect radio show is all Buckeyes all the time, then it's your lucky day, Slappy. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Twin Peaks. Experience the Sports Lodge mentality.
All right, CB, what you got?
All right, there's very few times when you look at the portal these days and it really something makes you raise your eyebrows and say, oh, well, that's interesting. I did have that moment about a couple minutes ago with the college basketball portal because I did see a name in there that was very interesting. It was Patrick McCaffrey, son of Fran McCaffrey, the Iowa head coach. He is leaving Iowa to go pursue his final season as a grad student somewhere else. My question is, tell the truth, there was a lot of discussion in Iowa about maybe the satisfaction level of Fran McCaffrey's tenure at Iowa in recent years. Do you think there could be something suspicious going on maybe with McCaffrey and his time left at Iowa?
I think it's a fair question to ask. He may have some information that the rest of us don't have, that maybe Pops is on his way out, he's getting let go, he's retiring, whatever it's going to be. So, hey, son, I'm not going to be the head coach here anymore. Go find a good landing spot for yourself. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe that's what's going on.
Boy, that is a it just seems like exactly what Colin said, which is you got to be evaluating the state of that program right now if he's going into the portal.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, pushing him out of the nest.
Get out of here.
That's very weird. I don't know how to answer that other than to say you're right. It that makes you think something weird would be going on. The fact that Patrick McCaffrey is going into the portal, the son of the head coach.
Mm.
What in the world? Unless you said he's a grad transfer?
He will be a grad transfer, so he'll have one more season.
You want to leave a little room for something that he's going after that Iowa can't provide? I don't know.
That's a possibility.
Yeah, I think I have to leave room for that. But that is odd.
You calling me a liar?
I ain't calling you a truther.
All right, on the surface level, looking at the start of the season for most major league teams tomorrow, let's look at teams that could have a positive season that maybe weren't fully expecting going into the season. Who might be that team for you?
A surprise team?
Yeah, probably to do better than your expectation for them.
Maybe the Cubs. Right. You know, they signed Craig Counsell away from the Brewers, which is unbelievable. And they gave him, like, the biggest contract in history. So, they have Cody Bellinger. They re-signed him. They landed that Japanese lefty. They easily have enough to maybe compete in the division. They've got a lot of young players. So, I'll say the unlikely Flubbies might give Maddie a little run.
CB, you may not like this, excuse me, but I'm going to go with the Kansas City Royals with cheese because what they have cooking up is really good pitching. Here, you got Cole Reagans, a name that a lot of people will get to know that some people believe could be a sneaky Cy Young candidate. Their bullpen mm-hmm. should be really good. Bobby Witt's an absolute star on the rising. So their juice over there at Bet365 is plus 900. Twins are minus 120. And then CB, your guards with the Tigers are at plus 300. But the Royals may be a sneaky team that opens some eyes this year.
The truth? It's overrated.
All right, the Daily Fan Poll. It's sponsored by ER Auto Care, Masters of Our Craft. The question is, pick one word to describe the Ohio State men's basketball season. Was it disappointing, frustrating, promising, or entertaining?
The entire season?
That's a great question that you're asking there, because the entire season has to be disappointing. Disappointing.
Yeah, to me it's frustrating because of what they weren't and what we saw they could be. That's the horrible part. The frustrating part is I got to the end of the season thinking if they would have nursed their way into the dance, they may have stung somebody. And I think that's what they're living with, is thinking what might have been. So to me, it's frustrating.
You sit on a throne of lies.
All right, yesterday in the Daily Fan Poll, we asked you which ones he was most likely to lose in this Sweet 16 coming up on Thursday and Friday. My question, I'm going to change it a little bit for today. Which one do you want to see lose for the chaos factor?
I want to see Purdue lose again, just so that narrative can continue that they just cannot get it done. So I'm going to go with Purdue.
Maddie hates the big fella.
It's not him. It's everybody else around.
Well, you said you hated him. You're just making dinner in the lane and all that. And just,
well, that's been a running thing. I think there's a lot of people that agree with me on that the rest, for whatever reason, will not get him out of the daggone paint.
Who would I want to lose? I'm not here to tell you that I need UConn to get back in there. Oh. If the biggest favorite were to lose, that's the chaos we all should want, outside of the fact that probably 70% of the people picked them to win it in their brackets. And certainly the people that didn't would want them out. But to me,
I can't recall, but I think San Diego State was the team that took down Bama, who was the one overall last year at this point of the tournament.
Well, yeah. Jaden LD got something for him.
This is the repeat game, right? Championship repeat.
Of the championship, yes.
Yeah, so this is the revenge factor is there. I think that's what would be cool to see, because every other team that would be left would kind of be fun to see them make a run. So I'll tell you what, lop off the head of the snake and then let everybody else say, hey, we got this. Like every other team, if UConn gets upset by SDSU, every team that's left goes, holy cow, we could win this.
Why would you worry?
All right, a quick final question. It is a would you rather. Wanted to get it in this week. Would you rather buy 10 things you don't need every time you go shopping, or always forget that one thing you needed when you go to the store?
It's quite the gap there.
It's quite a problem, isn't it? So you go to the store, you know what you're getting. You buy 10 extra things. You get to the car and you say, I can't believe I didn't get the one item that I came here for. Versus...
No, there are two separate scenarios. Either you buy 10 extra things you don't need, or forget the one thing you need.
Yeah, I'm not into wasting money, so give me the... Give me the latter. I guess I'll just have to deal with being annoyed that I forgot one thing. Instead of looking at money I flushed down the toilet on my counter.
Yeah, I mean, those items might be useful, Maddie. We don't know.
Things you don't need. So I don't know.
It's always the latter for me anyway. I always do forget. So I might as well just stay consistent.
Not a list guy?
No.
Yeah, that's got to fire up that notes app.
Okay? The truth shall set you free.
Before we get out of here, if you missed Adam Schefter talking all things NFL offseason, draft, free agency, you got that available. Pat Murphy talking Buckeye football. Brad Crawford talking the national college football scene, wherever you get your podcast. Type in Rothman and Ice. Those interviews and a lot more will be waiting for you.
And possibly Jameson Battle.
Sharpshooter?
Going to jump on tomorrow.
I need some
133.
Tips, man.
Yeah.
Some tips when I can get
reach out to the big fella.
And jump shot right.
And want him to talk about the state of the program. Listen in then. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Commandant and T-Bone next. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan. This is a Fan Action Update.
This Action Update is brought to you by ESPN Bet. ESPN Bet, the official sportsbook of ESPN. What a play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 16 teams left in the men's NCAA tournament. Here are your national championship odds. UConn is the favorite at +210, followed by Houston at 5-1. Purdue is 6-1. Arizona comes in at 9-1. North Carolina's 11-1. Tennessee 12-1. For your ESPN Bet Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan.
Good afternoon. I'm Paul Keel. Cincinnati Reds revealing today that second baseman Matt McClain did undergo shoulder surgery yesterday. While he'll be out indefinitely, they hope he can return sometime this season. Reds begin the season at home tomorrow with Washington. Cleveland Guardians begin their year in Oakland against the Athletics. From the NFL, free agent wide receiver Josh Reynolds, formerly of Detroit, has agreed to a two-year contract worth $14 million with the Denver Broncos. According to reports, Louisville is aiming to hire Charleston's Pat Kelsey as their new head basketball coach. Two quarterfinal games in the NIT tonight. UNLV at Seton Hall. BCU is at Utah. The winners advanced to the Final Four, joining Georgia and Indiana State. President of the NCAA today said he's pushing for a ban on college prop bets in states in which there's legal sports wagering. This update brought to you by NatureStone. Schedule your free cost estimate today at naturestone.com. It's not just a floor. Wow, it's NatureStone. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2 for 2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.